You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
All right. Thank you so much. It's great of you to join us. Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and the panel is lit up. Let's go to Christian from Philly. Everybody, give it up. Mommy. What's going on, Swami? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, but at the same time, I had my intelligence assaulted last night.
And I'm pretty sure we'll get into that a little later, but right now, give it up for Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected. Mr. Punk Rocker, how you doing tonight, bud?
Sitting here enjoying a nice cold Dr. Pepper, the soda of Texas, if you will, next to Big Red. And I'm sitting here right next to Samoa Joe, recently released WWE Superstars. So maybe we'll hear from him a little bit later.
Nice. I love that. Give it up for Samoa Joe. Hell yeah. Oh, Samoa Joe. Nice. Welcome to the studio, Samoa Joe. Also, give it up for the Peacemaker, Kanye West. And the music.
Oh, you didn't know? Well, you had better call somebody.
Goddamn right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Kevin and Ricky and the World Generation Podcast proudly present to you the WWC, the World Wrestling Generation Podcast, Champions of the World.
The Champions of the World. Kevin and Ricky.
And
also,
I got two words for you.
So Kevier, who was on vacation, has been on vacation. Tell us about it, man. How did it go? Everything going okay for you guys?
Vacation was cool. I went to Dallas, the home of the old sportatorium.
Nice.
Which is not there anymore. I didn't even bother going to where it was, because when I found out it wasn't there, there's not like any cool wrestling spots. Like, other than there's probably really cool promotions. I know there's a couple of cool, I think Outlaw Wrestling is maybe out of there. But I didn't get to do anything like that because I was recording with my band, The Hollies. And once we have some of those tracks, you might be able to hear them here on the World Generation.
Yeah, we'll get them on. Absolutely, bud. Absolutely.
Well, shit. In the studio, I played on some old guitars, man. I know you like guitars, Chuck, and I know Albert plays music. Like, I played on some Gibson.
Oh, so you had the whole studio experience. Yeah, you had the whole experience where you went into a studio and they had the badass amps, the badass guitars, and you know, all that shit. Nice. That's a great experience, bud.
Yeah.
That's a great experience, man. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, Kevier. We missed you last week. Albert Infected, what have you been up to, my friend?
Well, I was wondering about the Sportatorium in Dallas there, because Kevin just mentioned it there. Now, they just leveled that thing, right? There's like nothing there. It's like an open lot, right, Kevin? Or
yeah,
did you go by?
I was excited. I was like, I'm going to go see. And then I was like, I'm going to go see a parking lot. I think it was just cool that I was there, like in the town. That was enough for me.
But I'm surprised it's not an apartment complex or something, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
That seems to be the case quite a bit. Everything they tear down, it goes up into an apartment complex. Here in Houston, every little slither of land, the closer you get to downtown, is being developed into something. And that's just the way it is. It's the concrete jungle, my friend. the concrete jungle, but there's nothing like it. You know, when you live in the city, anything is available at all hours. Christian from Philly, what's going on with you? Fill us in, man. Why are you so down?
Because, man, Raw was this angered me last night. Raw really angered me. Like, last week was fucking boring. This week got my blood boiling, all right?
Let me tell you,
they insulted everybody's intelligence last night. Last night's show was really a slap in the face to everybody's intelligence.
I saw a lot of articles. I saw, like, stuff popping up. This was, like, the worst episode of Raw.
Wow.
This by far is the worst run for Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, bar none. This is the worst run ever.
And come to think of it, guys, and we're going to get into this a little later on, but I'll leave you guys with this. Come to think of it, tonight I was like, shit, man, I better get a pen and paper ready. We probably got this shit show backlash, WrestleMania backlash coming up this week. So I Googled it. I checked it out, man. I looked up the mighty search engine Google. Check. It's not until fucking 2 or 3 weeks away. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. How in the blue hell is this happening? It seems like this backlash is getting more of a storyline and more development than WrestleMania did, because WrestleMania seemed like it was just jumbled together, man. It was just jumbled together. But, guys, we're going to get into all of that coming up. Hey, let me tell you, man. We have some wrestler birthdays this week, and of course, last week we had a couple. I mentioned them, and then we got into this week, which we didn't have too many this week. One notable, and this is, you know, like I've always said, it's one of my favorite guys of all time, and of course, Kane. Music starts, it just scares the shit out of me. You know, it's like the big fire comes out. It's like, oh my god. So I mean, we can even do it again. It does every fucking time.
Oh, fire and brimstone! You gotta be
kidding me! Hey, do you think that Percy Pringle ever sang "Happy Birthday" to Kane?
I don't know. Swami?
Hey, you know what? I want to mention something. But shortly before he debuted Kane, I think it was only a matter of a few months where he was working at the fake Diesel, right?
Yes.
And the other day I was watching Royal Rumble from 1997, dude, and, like, there was a time in the ring, dude, I shit you not, I don't know if you guys have realized this, but there was a time in the ring where it was, like, it was 97, right? So it was, like, January 1997. It was... In the ring at the same time, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin, the fake Diesel, a.k.a. King, Rocky Maivia, Mankind, The Undertaker, and who the hell else, Vader, and Terry Funk were all in the ring at the same time. And I was like, dude.
Card guys.
Wow.
Yeah, this was like the bottom, right? This was like the WWF's, like, worst timeline, right? This is like when they had, like, the lowest ratings and shit. And I'm sitting there watching this stuff, and I'm like, dude. Like, that's like, well, complete star power right there. And, like, how are they, like,
pretty
I don't
awesome
understand what's going on there. But, yeah, watch that match again. It took place in San Antonio, and you'll trip out with, like, the amount of stars in that ring at the same time, especially.
Actually, it was 95 that was the worst timeline.
Yeah, but they were recovering. You know what I mean? It was
2021.
Still coming up off that 1995-94 era where – they were trying to push Lex Luger, you know what I mean? So WCW had taken him over at this time. So, yeah, it was – WCW was the top company at the time. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, yeah, dude, like, that's crazy. That was a crazy man.
Chuck, and not to get too far off, I know you're doing birthdays, but was Lex Luger ever over? Because we watched some Lex Luger stuff. And, like, was he ever over?
Bro, Lex Luger was the biggest fucking thing in WCW for a time, and it was when he was feuding with Ric Flair. He was like the biggest thing and shit, and then wrestling got really bad, so I left. When I came back, it was like they were trying to push him, and it was just terrible, and then the whole WWE thing was even worse. And so, yeah, there was a time. I can attest to that. There was a time when he was so much into that guy,
and they never got out what they put into him.
Right.
Do you think he pushed so much into himself that he never got out?
Well, he was there's a bunch of darkness around him, too, yeah.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why he never got over. It's because he was a fucking terrible wrestler. That's why.
that's what I've always heard. And it was just before. I never watched a lot of Luger, but I watched WCW, you see him around, and I'm like, was this guy popular?
Okay, so who's the best better wrestler, Ultimate Warrior or Lex Luger?
Oh gosh.
Well, I have to say Ultimate Warrior because I always have to say Ultimate Warrior because at least he's more charismatic. At least he has a fucking character. Lex Luger is fucking boring.
They were both boring on the
that
mic.
Is actually true.
I'll
That's
tell you that. They were both boring
on
the
Last
mic.
The Last Express sounded kind of cool, but I digress.
But, you know, Chuck was right. Chuck was right there because in the early 90s, and I don't remember too much, like, but in the early 90s, Lex Luger was the hottest thing going. And then he had that, I think he had like a motorcycle accident or something like that, and had to retire for a little bit. And then when he came back as the narcissist Lex Luger, which is my
favorite.
Yeah, he was
never the same.
Yeah,
at that point, bro, he was in his, what I would like to think is like his ringmaster era, you know, like comparison to Stone Cold, but he never moved. I mean, he was just out. He was done, dude. That motorcycle accident, he just never really fully recovered from it, I don't think.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing. If you can't have a good match with Mr. Perfect at WrestleMania, there's no fucking hope for you, all right?
Man, you're absolutely right there, Swami. You are absolutely. I mean, Mr. Perfect was like the pinnacle of. I mean, he was a badass wrestler, mat wrestler, and that type of shit. And you know, he's definitely going to take care of you. If you can't have a, it's just like Christian said. If you can't have a good match with Mr. Perfect, holy shit. And I mean, they were pushing him for something that he definitely was not, and he was exposed. And unfortunately, you know, he's a great guy though. He's a great. He had like his charisma outside the ring. Or like when he would come into the ring, he was like the Ultimate Warrior. Like when he would first come out and shit, and he was all pumped up and stuff. But get him on the freaking microphone, man, and it was like a different story. Because at the time, it wasn't scripted. Maybe if he would have had the shot at it, like in today's era, you know, where it's scripted and shit,
like
and go back 27 years, maybe he could cut a promo today, like a cookie-cutter scripted promo. But when the mic was in your hand and you were just given a few bullet points here and there, he did not have it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say that, but, you know, that's just the way it was.
But if you think about it, in this day and age, you don't have bodies like that anymore either. He was a bodybuilder that got hired, too.
But where is he now? He's like no one talks to Lex Luger anymore. So how did he get why is he blackballed?
Albert keeps up with Lex Luger.
Tell us about Lex Luger, bro.
Lex
Luger still appears on WWE stuff and he's like in a wheelchair now. He's like really skinny. I think he's in a wheelchair, I believe. I've seen him in a wheelchair before.
He's out of the wheelchair and he does a lot of stuff with Bobby Fulton's son. And they do like little online conventions and stuff on our Facebook group, Pro Wrestling Planet. And I mean, they share it to that group, but he was on a bunch of other things too. And really and truly, man, he's just like, I mean, like I don't talk to the guy, but I know like you know people who do. And he just essentially like stays at home and collects his WCW and WWE royalties, dude, and just tries to stay out of the limelight, you know what I mean? And, you know, try to move past what happened in the early 2000s with the, the drug addiction and, of course, the death of Miss Elizabeth at his apartment, you know what I mean?
I'll also say this.
It stinks, but, you know, not to take away from this isn't a shit on Lex Luger party, but it was something I was watching earlier this week, watching stuff about him, and I was like, was this guy really super popular? I've always heard of Lex Express, and, like, I didn't know if he was, like, Hulk Hogan, but I kind of compare him to, like, if, like, an Arnold Schwarzenegger, or, like, some, like, that's what they were going for, like, this huge bodybuilder-type guy pushing to the moon, and it didn't take off like that.
I'll tell you this. If the NWO Wolfpack and Kevin Nash can't get you over, you're fucking done.
Not even the NWO could have put him over.
Wolfpack era stuff, and I could tell that he was like the corniest one out of the bunch. And I was like, why is he here?
But you know,
you were saying, Albert,
he was kind of like the Roman Reigns of the early 90s, you know, like kind of getting pushed to the moon and nobody's really, you know, having it. It's just one of those kind of same situations.
I'll tell you who was having it though. The freaking women. They would fucking piss themselves when he came out, bro. I promise you. They really would. I mean, that's how he was with the women. So it was like, you know, I guess Roman Reigns, John Cena is also, you know, how the women were with John Cena. Nobody liked John Cena, but the women, they, you know, he still sold to the women. And, of course, you can't forget the children. You know, they were all about Lex Luger, you know, and he had his little gimmick and stuff. And, then, you know, it was electric. It was very electric. But it seemed like it only lasted during the Ric Flair era. And then after that, like, he had the whole Horseman thing, you know, and they pushed him to the moon with that. But then he went away, and then it just, the Horseman turned out to be what they turned out to be for going through a slew of people. And, I mean, we could do a special on this shit, but I'd rather do one on the Wolfpack. I mean, that would be a fucking series that would take months. The whole Wolfpack end up, the whole thing would take freaking months, man.
I think, let's not get off on another tangent on another rest of the day.
Yeah, because we started on someone's birthday, and then we got into Lex Luger.
Kane's
birthday.
That's how it goes. Yeah, we started saying that. Yeah. Okay.
I just love JR when he would do that.
You think that Kane lit his own birthday? You think that Kane lit his own birthday candles?
I think he did.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, I would
think
that he
did. You think he did the whole thing like that? And then like the birthday cake like fires up.
Kane, 1967.
And they're like, blow
it
out, Kane. Blow out the candles. And he's like, no. Let it burn.
I keep on thinking about that horror movie Kane was in.
Oh,
like
See No Evil. See No Evil.
See No Evil.
It's good.
Man, I've never seen it. Any good?
And then there's the garbage sequel, See No Evil 2.
Oh, really? I didn't know there was a number 2.
There was.
It's fucking shit. It's garbage.
You know who else is shit and garbage? Alex Riley, 1981. I'm sorry. Did I say you? Come on, man.
Don't get me started.
I didn't mean to say that, but Alex Riley, notable birthday.
Hey. So this is. I won't take too much time. But before y'all shit on the guy, The Miz is one of my favorite wrestlers. The storyline with Alex Riley and The Miz, Alex Riley's whole character arc up to the end, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. So it's like not. That never took off. Alex Riley is like my deep cut favorite wrestler.
Man, I loved it
because,
bro. I was like,
he had a great
guy's badass.
He was a good wrestler. When he came back at the very end and did that one last run, I was like so rooting for him. And I look him up, like I Google the guy every once in a while, just seeing what he's doing. But the guy was sick. Happy birthday, Alex Riley.
Any guy,
John Cena, fuck
any
that guy.
I
don't know about that.
Any guy, any guy's theme song that rips off a band named Skillet is a fucking asshole. Because that's the theme song. It was a song from Skillet.
He was such a great crybaby, like just like this hateable, punchable face kind of guy. But then, like when they gave him a little bit of babyface fire, he took it well too. Like I think the guy was super well rounded, and everything I've heard leads back to Cena burying the guy at a very early stage.
Well,
like he pissed Cena off, or Cena was threatened by him, and that's what happened.
Well, they were gonna let him go anyway, regardless.
I could see why Cena would be threatened by him though. The guy seemed like he had it. I mean, that last one that you were talking
Alex
about,
Alex
Riley
could have been a huge WWE superstar.
He really could have.
If I booked a fantasy booking or whatever, it would be that he never got fired and was made of that still.
619-924-0815 if you want to get in on this. We're talking about Alex Riley at the moment, but also getting back to that fucking to that horseman shit. Paul Roma coming up April 29th.
Yeah, fuck is that?
Yeah, Paul Roma. He's that fucking horseman that I was like, when, dude.
When they had
I
the bullshit
found
horseman?
Out. I just found out that Paul Roma was a horseman like about, shit, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. I had already stopped watching or something. I'm like, what the
You're
fuck? Are you kidding me? I saw it on this, I bought a DVD. It might have been like 11 years ago. I don't know. I bought a DVD of the fucking, of the Four Horsemen and shit. And I was sitting there watching it, the history of the horsemen or some shit. This is fucking
yeah.
Paul Roma comes. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, holy shit, I want fucking money back. But nevertheless, happy birthday, Paul Roma, but fuck, I never heard of him before this shit, and I've never heard of him after. Anybody? Paul fucking Roma?
He was just
know who the
dude,
fuck
right?
that guy is? I don't know who the fuck he is.
Wow.
I've heard of Paul Roma. He was in WCW, but you know what? He was in WWF at the time, or before that, too, I think. And he was just some fucking dude. You know what I mean? You want to talk about a forgettable Four Horsemen, and you talk about forgettable Four Horsemen, like, I don't know, Mongo McMichael. Mongo McMichael
oh,
was not
God.
As forgettable as Paul Roma as a horseman.
What did they do? What did these horse fuckers do? They just, like, not to, like, they weren't actual horse fuckers, but what did they fucking do? They just kicked one guy out? And just, like, hired the next fucking dude who walked up, or what?
They never could fill the void of fucking, what's his name? We were talking about him earlier.
Spot.
They never could fill the void of fucking, I'm not very good at
Ole Rick Flair? Ole Anderson?
Stop it. Guys. Lex fucking Luger, man. They never could fill the void of Lex fucking Luger. And so here they were. Replacing him with guy after fucking guy.
They recruited Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
For fucking
there you go. Even Jeff fucking Jarrett.
So was there
so
as many members of the Four Horsemen as there was of NWO?
Not quite. And I think that's why I think NWO started taking off on that shit just as a prank. On NWO,
it might have been one of the greatest groups ever, but later down the years, they fucking sucked.
So you're in WCW. You're in WCW, and it's the 90s, and you're Hulk Hogan and Scott Hall, Kevin Nash sitting around backstage, the clique sitting around, and they're like,
yes.
What if, bro, Scott's like, bro, what if we had more than four guys in the group? And Hulk Hogan's like, oh, shit, brother. Oh, fuck. It's more than four guys. That's crazy. There's only ever been four guys. Oh. You know, that's the ticket.
That's the ticket.
I'm exaggerating, but yeah. They're like, what if we had 25 guys?
One of those dudes.
Did Jeff Jarrett still the Honky Tonk Man?
Somebody call Virgil.
Smash guitars over people?
Wait, Albert?
Somebody want to answer Rick's question?
I'm sorry, Rick? I didn't even hear it. Who's
Jeff Jarrett and the guitar smashing?
You gotta be
Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, he was in NWO. Ricky's asking if he stole it from Honky Tonk Man. Yes, he stole it from Honky Tonk Man. Honky Tonk Man probably stole it from somebody too. But he wrote Slap Nuts on it first, so he wins.
I think Jeff Jarrett did it better though. I hated the fucking Honky Tonk, and I hated Jeff Jarrett too, man. But then when Jeff Jarrett did all that bad guy shit in TNA, I took a liking to him. And then, suddenly he became douche Jeff Jarrett to me again, and he never fucking was able to recover.
I must be the worst kind of wrestling fan because I love guys like Jeff Jarrett and Alex Riley. That's all
I
love him
too.
I loved Alex Riley too.
He was badass.
Sometimes mid-card guys who sometimes go into the main card like are my favorite wrestlers. I like guys who hang out around the Intercontinental Championship, but sometimes
yeah.
World
I remember coming in or like liking wrestling. Okay,
so
no, born in '88. And like,
let's keep going.
Okay. Yeah. My bad.
Chuck, were you saying something, buddy? I'm sorry. I thought you were keeping it going. I'm sorry. Did we lose you?
Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Oh, crap.
Okay, what were you saying?
Now, I was saying, I remember, like, being born, I was born in 88, so, like, coming into wrestling, that was, like, you know, being 5 years old, watching the Ultimate Warrior come out. And I love Ultimo Dragon and, like, all that stuff. And I think that's where
it kind of,
like,
wrestlers, like, the super colorful, like.
Not necessarily. Because I stopped and then got Stone Cold era happened. And then, like, that was cool, and that was, like, fifth grade for me. But I loved, like, Ultimo Dragon and, like that whole style of thing. I don't remember how that tied into what we were talking about.
No, yeah, I think
what the hell? Blow
out your candles! Please!
It's your birthday,
Kane! Please, the fire burns!
Kane, it's your birthday!
Is it Minister from Sinister from the depths of hell?
Did he climb up out from under the ring? He's testing to see if he can still do the sound.
Okay, so he can still do the sound.
He can still do the soundboard, but he can't hear him talking. I bet his headphones came unplugged. Yeah. Check your headphones, buddy.
I got super hard because I always thought they were actual brothers.
Are you on mute, Chuck? Are you on mute, Minister?
I think he was talking, and then he stopped talking all of a sudden. So
yeah,
it happened.
I was on fucking mute.
Oh,
the Lake of Fire!
Hey, Chuck.
So, yes.
Hey, has Kevin Dunn been over at your house running production, or?
Indeed, he just went outside to take a toke.
Is that Kevin Dunn running the production band tonight?
He just went outside to take a toke and just, he said, you know what? It was too much bullshit even for him. He was like, fuck this shit. I'm taking off outside to go take a toke. And that's it, dude. So, yeah, everything fucked up. Everything went downhill. But
okay.
You know what? I've come to expect it from Blog Talk fucking radio. That's right. I said it. And I'll say it again. I've come to expect this shit from Blog Talk Radio, and so that's why I was prepared for it, you see? I figured out a way around this horse shit, because that's what it is. It's a bunch of fucking horse shit, and I found a way around it. And the way around it is I fucking call ahead of time and put my phone on mute and shit, and I wait for it to happen. I sit around waiting for it to happen because I just know it's going to fucking happen. The fucking mealy maggots.
Are you on your PC now, or are you on your phone?
I'm on my PC and I'm on my phone. It's one of them deals.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to, I can still control the PC. However, my audio is not coming into the PC because it knocked me off. It booted me off. And that's been happening quite a bit, as you guys know, but I found a way around it. And this is it. So,
hey,
fuck
you,
Block Talk Radio.
You indirectly gave me an idea because you're listening in 3D. You're like, you got two devices going. So it made me think, pertaining to wrestling, what if we had wrestlers wearing like GoPros in the ring?
Nice.
And like doing all the moves. Like they had GoPros strapped to their head.
Of the Mondays.
Yeah.
Man, Kane's in the studio.
Is that Duke Nukem?
No, it was Kane.
Okay.
Yes. So, that's a hell of an idea to come up with.
Let's do that.
But you know what else?
Anyways, you were doing birthdays before we got cut off. I was trying to get it back on the rails. So you go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're here, man. We're here right back on the rails, just like you said. You know what happened back on April 27th? Just a few short years ago, it seems. Braun fucking Strowman, who, by the way, Braun fucking Strowman, what the fuck is he doing with hair now? He was looking so fucking cool, big buff, badass, and shit, man, and now he's got this fucking hair. They turn him into a fucking, who's that guy, Festus? They used to hear the theme song, and then he would come alive and shit. That's what he looks like now. He looks like a total fucking doofus, man. Totally unbelievable.
Braun Strowman looks like a schmuck.
And now
they should have never shaved
come
the
to find
mohawk
out
ponytail. He had a mohawk
come
ponytail
to find
for
out
years. They should have let him keep it.
I never saw that mohawk. I mean, I saw him, let's see, when he first came in, he had that curly long hair and shit with the receding hairline. I mean, it's the receding hairline that makes him look bad. I mean, to me, just keep that shit shaved. It would look fucking cool. But no, they had to change his look, or unless he's doing it himself, but I digress.
Come to find out,
now what, Minister? Braun Strowman, April 27th in wrestling history. He won the biggest Royal Rumble match in WWE history.
You mean the greatest Royal Rumble?
Saudi Arabia. Yeah, it was in Saudi Arabia.
Who gives a fuck?
So,
That's not really an achievement.
It is what it is.
To be the first.
Nevertheless, Braun Strowman had that.
No, he wasn't the first. Cesaro was the first, right?
Yeah.
No,
but
we're talking about the greatest Royal Rumble.
Oh, that was
something
the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi?
Yeah.
That was the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi, yeah, and he won. But something else that happened, and this was 34 years ago today, in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know if you guys remember. I doubt you do. But I remember him, Austin Idol. He was a Ric Flair wannabe. He even did the fucking figure four. He had long blonde hair and shit. He wore tights, long pants though, instead of the instead of the trunks. And he always wore nice boots and shit. He put money back into his craft because he always had nice boots that would match his outfits and shit. But anyway, Austin Idol defeated Jerry Lawler in a hair versus hair match. In a steel cage to win the AWA Southern Heavyweight Championship. Now, as a result of this loss, Lawler also had his head shaved, you know, because that's how it goes. And here's a little, did you know, Tommy Wildfire Rich hid under the ring for the entire day with a six-pack of beer and an air mattress, and he ended up helping Idol defeat Lawler. The fans were so fucking irate with the outcome, guys, that they grabbed and shook the cage. Man, they were trying to get in there and shit. It's one of the most infamous bouts in Memphis wrestling history to this day, guys.
Nobody's going to save the king in my state.
I got a question. Who was the babyface and who was the heel in this situation?
I mean, you know, I would, if it's Memphis.
Was
Memphis
Austin
Jerry
Idol supposed to be the babyface?
I would.
Jerry Lawler's
babyface. I never, ever saw Austin as a babyface. Never.
But at that point, Jerry Lawler never turned face. He was always a heel at that point.
He was.
Didn't he say that the guy interfered to help Austin?
He was a heel, like, I mean, outside of Memphis. But, you know, like, when he was working against, like, Lawler would flip back and forth, you know what I mean? Like, you look at when he was working with Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman was working heel.
Consider the source, bro. The crowd at the time would have loved a heel Lawler. Like, they were about heel Lawler in Memphis. They were probably like, yeah, beat his ass. Shave his head. He's got long blonde hair. Shave it.
Should have just like somebody was saying over there in the crowd. Shave it. He's got long blonde hair. Shave it.
What the fuck were they thinking with this shit? What were they thinking? Having him lose, then shaving his hair. What the fuck were they thinking? Did they not expect that they were gonna fucking protest and riot after the outcome? They had to know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna get pissed off. They're gonna come back from it. You know, Lawler probably came back and beat his ass after that. It just didn't happen on this day.
Guys, I'm gonna do a little test.
That's almost as bad as a town match.
There was a similar occasion where Ric Flair actually lost the NWA title in the Dominican Republic at the height of Ric Flair's popularity. With the NWA, but he called the match and decided that he was going to lose against this dude. I don't even know his fucking name, but it was some guy who was popular in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this or not. And mid-match, Ric Flair is like, dude, if I don't fucking lose, I am not coming out of this fucking arena alive. So he dropped the title to some dude in the middle, and there's like a video clip of it somewhere, and it's like legendary in like the Dominican Republic. It's like some like weird shit that he did it, and the dude like vacated it like the next day or something like that. But that the crowd was that fucking heated for Ric Flair that if Ric Flair won, which he was originally planned to win, that they probably would have killed the dude.
Yeah.
But
no, they talked about it. They used to sneak him out in the trunks of cars and stuff. It's crazy.
So would you say that that's lost in wrestling now?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
When you got so pissed off that some dude won, you're like, man, I'm going to kill that guy.
So what's the last time that happened, Christian? It makes me think of like CM Punk chants and like whenever, like what's the last time that somebody came out and something happened where the crowd just like revolted on it big time? There was definitely somebody who got booed out of the arena with CM Punk chants.
Well, Royal Rumble 2014, they booed
when
everybody in the Royal Rumble match because Daniel Bryan wasn't in it.
I think maybe that was it. It was somewhere in the last 10 years it's happened where the crowd like just booed really like extra hard.
They booed Rey Mysterio out of the building, the poor guy.
Yeah.
Because he came out of the building.
Chuck was right there with
him. And then they did it again the next year. They booed everybody in the ring again because Daniel Bryan got eliminated and Roman Reigns won. So 2 years in a row.
I remember. I knew it happened, yeah. I think you're right. I think that's what I was thinking of. But that's the
Jack,
extent that it gets to. Like, now nobody gets real heat like that anymore.
Yeah.
And if they
Jack
get real heat like
Mano.
That, they get canceled. They're, like, they're not allowed to wrestle anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
I disagree
Jack,
because we did get heat recently. And that was WrestleMania Night 2 when they booed the shit out of the outcome with the Fiend match at WrestleMania. They did boo.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah. They booed
the
shit out of it.
To cover that.
And
like, on the same night, they played a replay and they cut out the boos.
And so is that it for them? Do we have anything else?
We're still on.
That was this day in history and birthdays?
This day in history. No, I have one more thing. One more thing, guys. And this will be... Holy fuck. Here we go. All right. You know what else happened this day, guys? I'll tell you what else happened. It was in... Oh, shit. I lost the link. I lost the fucking link, guys. But it was in... Wait a minute. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm still connected just to the internet. I was trying to do all kinds of testing here and shit, but it's not working. So I'm still on my phone. But, guys, what happened on this day was it was the pilot of SmackDown. The pilot of SmackDown happened on this day 30 fucking years ago.
Yeah, 1999.
Something like that. Let's see here. But let me tell you, some big things happened, though, before that. It was taped in New Haven, Connecticut, all right, at the Coliseum there.
Yeah.
Of course, it was taped on a Tuesday, and it aired 2 days later. And it was the first WWF show on network television since Saturday night's main event in 1992. Guys, that's a big deal. That's a big fucking deal because they had only been on cable up until then. Since, you know, back since 1992, they had only been on cable. So
UPN,
it was intended
right?
as a one-time only special. Yes. And it scored a 5.8 rating, of course, on UPN. And so they picked it up. They were like, fuck it. We're going to take a chance on this. They picked it up 4 months later. And it would remain on UPN for 7 years until UPN and WB merged to form the CW. And, of course, the show followed there, too. It was also on the CW. And then it moved to My Network TV for a couple of seasons before finding a home on Sci-Fi. Now, in January of 2016, the show moved to the USA Network, the home of WWF's flagship show, Monday Night Raw, and it's been on there ever since. So guys,
no, it's not on. It's not on SmackDown. It's not on the USA Network. It's on Fox.
Oh yeah, that's right. What the fuck am I saying? But I digress. So nevertheless, though, here's the deal. Because of SmackDown, and they got the green light on this shit. It played a huge part in Vince Russo and Ed Ferraris leaving the WWF for WCW.
Yeah.
Because they were fucking, wanting extra hours and shit to do two shows, but they didn't even get no more money. I mean, get the fuck out of here. These guys were burning the fucking midnight oil and shit, so they were like, fuck it. We're bailing. But also,
fuck 'em.
There was also a fucking show going on too, though. And here was the deal.
Yeah.
The Blue Blazer defeated fucking Val Venus. The Big Show defeated Test in 47 seconds. D'Lo Brown defeated Draws. X-Pac and Kane, or I think that was like the first version of Team Hell No. Team Hell X maybe or some shit. But X-Pac and Kane defeated the New Age Outlaws to retain the Tag Team Championship. Ken Shamrock defeated Bradshaw in a no-holds-barred street fight. Damn, think about that. Mankind defeated Big Boss Man in just 95 seconds.
That's
and Stone
terrible.
Cold Steve Austin and The Rock defeated, drumroll, the corporate ministry. That's right. It was the fucking debut of the corporate ministry. Of that show.
Yeah. I thought the corporate ministry debuted on Raw. Pretty sure they did.
Well, let's see here.
I'm pretty sure.
It was the formation of the corporate ministry.
Well, what a fucking.
There.
That was
so,
a dumb
yeah.
That was trash. The minute Shane McMahon was involved with Undertaker, it was shit. They had something great with Undertaker, the Ministry of Darkness. The moment you mix Shane McMahon's theme song with fucking Undertaker, it's going to be shit, and it was shit. And not only that, from that point on, Undertaker had one worst promos ever. Like, I respect the man, but fuck me. 1999, his promo work was absolute shit. When he was on commentary sometimes during matches, he was fucking awful, this guy. Like, he was, like, monotone. Even for, like, playing a dead man character, like, it was fucking terrible. This was the worst time of Undertaker, period. This was the worst period in his career, in my opinion.
Oh, that was a good promo. American Badass, you were. I'll do all the talking.
American Badass.
That's why.
Guys, can you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, great. I'm back on the fucking computer. So fuck you,
nice.
Blog Talk. Because goddamn it, I'm back. Having said that, I think it's time to take a fucking break. It's getting a little fucking ghoulish in here with all these fucking, we got Percy Pringle and shit here in the studio. But yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to the bones of the show, if you will. So we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. See where you're at, man.
It's the party. It's the East Coast Party Cast with Hollywood Tony P and Javi C on the World Generation Podcast Network. How are you doing, everybody? So you got the East Coast Party Cast. He's Puerto Rican, and I'm a freaking. And there you go. Together, we're gonna make a World Generation Podcast Network history. Is it still the World Generation Podcast? Is it World Generation Net? What is it?
So, the date is coming soon on that.
Thursday night.
Yeah, party. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
Sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And guys, we're about to turn it up a notch. Enough with the history and all that shit. The birthdays, if you will.
Yeah.
Ricky, what have you been up to, my friend?
Nothing.
I love it. Nothing. Damn it.
Just been working.
Nothing.
Stay working. Ricky definitely doesn't keep up with the current product. He's the guest on the show. Y'all know that by now, but it's he's more vintage wrestling. When he comes over, we watch like older stuff, or we watch a lot of the Lucha Libre stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, I'm like almost anti-WWE now.
Guys, I mean, I got to tell you, Ricky, you know, and Kevier and Albert, and even you, Christian from Philly, the Swami, my precious Swami, my precious Kemosabe, my precious Grasshopper. I got to tell you, bud, I have adapted to watching Kevier. Thank you so much for turning me on to the fucking YouTube clips, WWE. I can watch the whole fucking show in the matter of moments.
Yeah.
And not waste any of the time, not have any of the bullshit, oh my God, the headache of having to sit there for 3 fucking hours if I'm watching it live, 2 hours. If I'm watching it on DVR, which you have to pay, you know, $10 a piece for each fucking DVR in your fucking house? No, thank you. Fuck you, cable companies.
Wait, you're watching wrestling on PBR?
No, I'm watching wrestling on YouTube now. I'm sorry. I'm watching Raw on YouTube.
Full riding.
SmackDown, I'm watching, you know, when I can on TV. Because it's on cable. It's on antenna. I can watch SmackDown for free. The Raw, I can no longer watch it. You know, I don't have cable. I've cut the cord, Ricky. So now, at first, I couldn't get into it. Now, I'm all about it. Last night was my first night to not even feel like I didn't even think about it. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to the studio. And I went to the studio and I didn't even think about fucking Raw until I got home. I watched some clips. They didn't have everything loaded yet. They had like maybe two clips loaded from the night. And so I was patient. I said, fuck it. Watched some old clips from last week and then put it away and shit. And so here I am. Yeah, I've been watching Ricky. A lot of shit on my Roku, on Pluto. They got wrestling every freaking night, man. They got women's wrestling. It's some badass shit, too, man. Some badass shit.
Everything there's a bunch of ways to watch cool shit. There's all sorts of wrestling on YouTube alone. And then they have the Fight TV app. The Fight TV app has always been cool. And people don't talk about it a lot, but I mean, you can watch a shitload of wrestling on that too.
And it's non-WWE, and it's non-bullshit. And you know, and you can turn it the fuck off and walk away without investing any time into it. That's my thing, dude.
Look, man,
it's the time.
Look, I remember when WrestleMania was a huge deal. Like WrestleMania was the end all, be all. And like when I watched the last WrestleMania, it felt like. Like what's the bullshit pay per view? That's what it felt like. It wasn't, and it's been like that. It's been like that for years.
So you mean culturally, but like even then, like so there was a time when WrestleMania was huge before we were even kids. Like we were little bitty kids. WrestleMania was like Woodstock.
Yeah.
At that time. And then it became like when we were kids watching it, it was like a pay-per-view event where it was a big deal to be able to go to somebody's house and watch a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like a boxing match. So I think that WrestleMania being huge is like just a perspective thing for wrestling fans because it is a lot of people gathering for a wrestling. It's the largest gathering, biggest wrestling show every year. You can't take it away from that. But I just think that like we're still in a niche fan base is all I'm saying. Like it's just wrestling fans that care about WrestleMania. It's not mom and pop.
Well,
like,
it comes back
you
to
wanna go to WrestleMania this year, baby?
Well, it comes back to what
very few people doing that for the
It comes back to what you and I always talk about, Kevin, is that it's for kids. It's not for like adults anymore, which is why I've gone away, and I prefer going to local wrestling. I prefer going to any wrestling.
It was cooler when we were kids.
You can't say it's for kids either because I don't even think even kids would find this fucking entertaining.
So I'm a parent and watching, and I know we need to get to Raw. You know, we're not. I don't think that we're a WWE podcast at all. I think we do talk about WWE a lot, but really, we're just wrestling fans talking about what we like in wrestling. And WWE is doing this thing right now with Alexa Bliss. Where like, if my kid was a little older, I'd be like, I don't know if I want you watching the Alexa Bliss stuff because it's dark and because she's saying tough words. Like that would turn me off. But I like it as me being a wrestling fan. I really love Alexa Bliss and the character, and I'm still behind it, even though it kind of sucks and a lot of people hate it. But I'm saying as a parent, that's different too. So
interesting.
I just don't
that's
like
an
the
interesting
fact
perspective.
I just don't like the fact that we have a grown woman dressing up like a little girl.
That's weird,
you were
too.
Saying,
I mean, the whole thing is weird. The character is weird. She's like a childlike person saying curse words and demonic stuff. So, you know, like whatever your moral compass is, those are things that maybe a 3 or 5 or 7 year old shouldn't be exposed to.
Albert Inspected, your thoughts on the moral compass and this whole Alexa Bliss shit.
I don't think that WWE is for kids. Maybe they tried to do that like in the post ruthless aggression era, but I think they're just trying to do a little bit of everything for everybody and they're spreading themselves too thin. I think there's like childlike entertainment. I think there's a little bit more, I guess, adult-like entertainment, like you said, with, like, you know, Alexa Bliss or whatever they did, like, last year or the year before with Bobby Lashley sleeping with Lana. Like, it's just kind of all over the place. And then, of course, you've got, like, your indie wrestling shit that they try to do, which is NXT, which is, you know, actually pretty good. But they're trying to cover all the bases for all the fans. And, you know, what happens when you start doing that is you start spreading yourself too thin, and then not one thing is actually as good as it should be. So what they should be doing is just focusing on their product, on one, you know, maybe not demographic, but one, like, style of doing things, and run with it and make it as best they possibly can. And that's kind of the problem with WWE right now, too. Aside from the boring writers and the producers and the horrible, you know, production crew and the horrible music, now that they actually fired Jim Johnston, it's got a lot of problems. And it's going to take a long time to fix, man. But I think if Triple H was given the reins entirely, you know, we'd see some improvement.
I don't think they're given like creative, like character development for them to find their own like people within. That's what made it so good back in the day. I don't know, but like I was a kid, I saw Stone Cold rise. You see The Rock. You don't have those characters anymore. Like whenever it was huge. Now they're just like putting out. It's like Family Guy. When you watch Family Guy, season 22, episode 5, is where we're at on damn WWE. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, you get characters that are mainstays, but not like superstars.
You get older people.
They're called superstars.
You get old. Yeah, and they're called superstars. You get older people writing for these newer wrestlers that are coming into the fray. And, like, they're, like, you know, they have their own ideas about the way they want to go with things. You have other people telling them what to do.
That way forever, bro.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But it's, like, I'm on, like, on fire about it right now just because I watched the Stone Cold biopic. And, like, it came from whenever Eric Bischoff, like, fired him. And then he went to ECW, cut the promo. And then Vince didn't want to give him the time of day. And then finally, like, just stuff started rolling. And then Stone Cold propelled, like, WWE. And he propelled it. Like, that there would not be WWE without Stone Cold.
You're right.
I think completely that. Like, without Stone Cold character, there's no way WWE would be as huge as it is right now.
I agree with you in that. And I want to say something, too, because I did a seminar with some wrestling production guys that had worked with the WWE not that long ago, a few weeks ago. And so I did this online seminar. Nice. I paid for stuff too. Pretty much essentially what these guys were saying about character development and how products are today is the fact that back in the day, there would be no producers or agents for promos or script writers for matches or anything like that. And essentially, an agent's job in the early 90s or in the late 90s, like early 2000s, when they started using these agents, what's that? They started using like agents as kind of like a liaison between like the talent and like the main bosses. Do you know what I mean? Like the men to kind of like, you know, work out matches and work out promos and stuff. So the agents were really only used for guys who were getting into the business. And what the fuck is that noise? Anyway,
I don't know.
Like somebody's moving a fucking house. Anyway, so essentially, agents were only used for lower card guys in order to get them used to television. And then guys like Triple H, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, older guys like Hogan and Sting and Flair, they didn't use agents, right? Even Cena, I don't think, used an agent, right? But what happened was when these guys started retiring and started, you know, wrestling less and less, the guys who are moving up in the cards, like more main event level status, didn't want to stop using the agents. So now everything is overproduced and everything's written and matches are kind of the way they are because everybody else who didn't use agents, you know, are gone, and the guys who are using agents when they were coming up in the ranks are still using agents because it's a style that they're comfortable with.
That's essentially what this
production guy had told me what was going on in WWE today, and it's hard for them to kind of get away from that.
That's interesting. Guys, as you said, Kevye, earlier, just a few minutes ago you said it, we're not just the WWE show. We cover all kinds of shit here. I mean, you know, just tonight we've talked about WWE. We've talked about old school WCW. But then right now, I'd like to talk about a little bit about Impact, because the Cleaner is now the Collector, the Belt Collector.
Kenny Omega,
Or Title Collector. Which is it? Belt Collector or Title Collector? He's collecting belts is what he's doing. So one has to wonder, what's the payoff in this? Is he going to put someone over in TNA, which is what I expect is what's going to happen at this as a payoff in this? What the hell with Big Cass making an appearance as W something or other? It appears he's there to stay. Big Cass in TNA now as W something or other. Christian from
he's ex, I don't know what his fucking name is, but I couldn't care less. The guy was boring in WWE, and I guess he's just another minion for Eric Young. But the fact that Rick Swann is no longer the champion, that's a good thing. I thought Rick Swann was a fucking geek. He didn't deserve to be the world champion. It was pretty predictable that Kenny was going to win anyway. So I don't know how this is good for Impact, because they just lost their title. The world champion of their company lost their title in their own pay-per-view at their company to another promotion. In what word is that putting over TNA? That just makes TNA look like shit.
It has to be part of a build. Otherwise, it's masturbation, bro. It's for fucking nothing. If this is not for a fucking big build, yes, Albert. It has to be.
I've got a weird feeling about all this. And I think pretty soon, I really think this is a way to either introduce Samoa Joe to the AEW roster, and have him win the title and bring it back to Impact, and this is even a little bit more far-fetched, I have this strange feeling that Tony Khan and his family are in negotiations to purchase Impact Wrestling, and maybe even Triple H.
Yeah, Negro, that's all you had to say.
I have this idea that they're trying to purchase Impact and quite possibly make it a second brand similar to Raw and SmackDown. I have this weird feeling that maybe the negotiations aren't there yet, but I think maybe there's talks for that to happen.
I agree. I totally agree. I was at the beginning of this when he was saying that he's going to put somebody over at TNA. I disagree. I think that he's going to. They're going to keep the Impact belt in AEW, and they're going to buy TNA.
Nice.
And it's going to get absorbed.
Nice. And just like I'm saying, I've been calling for this, guys, for a few weeks now. There's got to be a revolution coming. I mean, we know there's going to be a revolution coming very soon in the U.S. It'll be much sooner.
I think Samoa Joe is going to be the one to kind of I think he's gonna challenge Kenny Omega for the Impact title, and when all this is kind of going through and you know, lead the new version of Impact. I really think that's gonna
nice. Wow, I just wanted to get thoughts. Let's go real quick, guys, round the table. Big Cass now in TNA, big deal or who gives a shit? Albert Inspector.
Big deal for them. Not really a big deal for anybody else, but I think it's a big deal for them. I think that they're, that I like I said, going back to the acquisition of not really rumors, but the accusation theory that I have is the fact that Impact and TNA is really TNA is really trying to get their star power back because it's been lacking over the last few years, the last 5 years probably. So I think they're trying to build. I think they're trying to build that star power back so that if and when or if an acquisition happens, that it will be a viable brand for AEW. And I see a lot of. I think this is why, too, you see a lot of matches, a lot of people coming into AEW dark because there's going to be an influx of AEW workers and even some higher-level AEW talent that's going to go over to this new Impact, if that's the case. But I think Cass is a good acquisition. I don't think it's not shaking a whole lot of – it's not really shaking the wrestling world, but it's definitely a good acquisition for him.
Caveat, Cass, good acquisition for Impact Wrestling, possibly future AEW?
No.
Wait, Caveat.
I think it was, yeah. My main takeaway was that he looked great and that he was in super great shape and that the guy was, like, fat when he got kicked out of WWE and that was an issue and that the guy has the issues that he's supposedly overcome, and that's great. So, like, that's, like, where I am with whenever you got a wrestler like Cass. I'm like, man, I hope he can get his life back on track and come back. And it looks great. So, like, maybe this is it. But, no, I was always a fan. Without Enzo or with, I mean, the guy's huge. He reminds me of Test. He reminds me of Edge. He reminds me of a lot of guys like that. And I'm not saying that he could be as big a star as those guys. But, you know, I mean, don't let a fucking 6'7", 6'8" dude go to waste or whatever, you know. 7 foot tall. Is he literally 7 foot? That's the thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to leave Christian out of this round because we already know it's not a good thing for him. Christian does not like this guy. And it's not good. But you know what? No. That's okay because we have...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly, with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Again, Christian will be denied of this segment. At least for right now. I'm going to put him on ice. I got him on ice right now. I will unleash him in a little bit. I'd like to start out the WWE.
Where is he?
Yeah, he's in the background somewhere. He's in my pocket right now. The grasshopper's in my pocket. He's unleashed right now. He's leashed up right now. Yeah, he's got the muzzle on. But I'd like to start out this week with the SmackDown, the starting of SmackDown. I thought it was freaking badass how they did a whole segment with Cesaro and Roman Reigns and all that whole deal or whatever it was with Cesaro. And then it led to a match, a tag match. Did you guys watch the highlights on this? You know what I'm talking about. Christian is here now to talk about this.
Yeah, you muted me.
Of course I did. I had to get this in. I thought it was fucking badass how they did this segment. It was a killer segment. You're about to break it down for us. It took 45 minutes. And this is what I'm saying, guys, is this is what WWE is fucking capable of. And it's a goddamn shame that they don't fucking do shit like this more often. And that's where I stand on this shit. Swami, take it away.
Well, it was a good 45 minutes. Cesaro came out, tried to cut a promo, but then Seth Rollins, you know, the guy we all hate the most, comes out and cuts a promo saying that it's not over yet. It's not done with them, between them. Then the goon himself, the bitch, Jey Uso comes out, says garbage. I wasn't paying attention to him because, you know, he's a fucking goon. So they're about to fucking double team Cesaro. Till the annoying gremlin himself, Daniel Bryan, which I don't know why he's still involved in this shit at
all.
Did
you say they were going to double team him?
I said double team.
Okay. I was just making sure.
No,
double team.
Double team.
Oh, double team. Oh, okay. but
so,
I digress.
So the gremlin himself, Daniel Bryan, comes out, and he makes the rescue. Then he cuts a promo. I wasn't paying attention to the gremlin because I don't know why he's still involved in this shit. But then the big dog comes out. He says, you're not in my level, yada, yada, yada. You know, the boring shit he always says. You know, the most boring fucking wrestler alive.
Yeah,
and it becomes a tag match.
I thought the whole thing was good. And see, this is the thing. This is where we differ. Like, it was great entertainment. It was great storytelling. And then it led to a fucking badass match. And at the end, tell us what happened.
In the end, Seth Rollins walks out of Jey Uso, which
Jey
okay.
Uso takes the pin
walks,
again, as usual.
He takes
he is
the
pin,
the fucking loser.
It's terrible.
He's the bitch.
He's in this role, but that's the role that he's in right now. I don't know how long he's going to be able to take this. I mean, clearly he signed that contract, that long-term contract that Kevin Owens, that all of them have signed. Once you sign that contract, man, you're at their fucking mercy, bro.
Yep, you're
fine. At their fucking mercy, dude. Jey Uso has been pinned more times than, holy shit. But he is the main eventer.
He didn't main event this last week, so I don't know what the fuck. So, Cesaro swings him, and then Daniel Bryan cuts the promo for him. Apparently, Daniel Bryan really wants Cesaro to be number one contender for no reason. I don't know why he's sticking his nose into other people's business. That's the one thing I didn't get. Like, who the fuck are you?
Bro,
why are you involved in this shit?
Is Cesaro that weak, Swami, on the mic?
I guess.
That fucking, you know, he's not capable? Bro, come on.
I guess so, because it makes Cesaro look terrible for having other people getting him a fucking shot. It makes him look weak.
What do you think is the meaning of this, Kevier? Why is Cesaro not doing his own promos?
Because Vince doesn't like his accent. Vince hates accents. He doesn't like people that can't speak normal English.
He
makes
accents.
People talk.
What about fucking Drew McIntyre? What about Sheamus?
He doesn't. Well,
how
what about
he
Kofi
accents?
He's the chosen one. He's the chosen one. Sheamus. No, there's like a thing. I didn't pull that out of my ass. I've heard that before. That Vince like maybe Vince doesn't like redneck accents. Maybe that's what I heard. Like if somebody talks like a hick, he makes them dangerous.
How can he hate accents when he legitimately gave Apollo Crews a Nigerian accent?
Yeah, you're
right. No, that was a bad reason. But no, I mean, I don't know. Like Cesaro, it's a rib, dude. They're like ribbing the guy. They're like cutting his heels, dude. Because the guy is a linguist. He speaks like multiple languages. I don't know how many, 5 languages or something at least.
Man, I'll tell you what it is, man. It's a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of horse shit, dude. I think Cesaro is fully capable of cutting his own fucking promos. I've seen him do it plenty of times. When he first came out, he was great. And it seems like they've just been limited. If anybody's been held down, it's Cesaro. Albert inspected Cesaro being held down?
Sorry, I was on mute there. No, he's not being held down. You know what? The guy can't cut a good promo. He's an
entertainer
as fuck. I've followed this guy ever since he was Mysterious Ice Cream Man or whatever the fuck he was. But you know what? The guy's talented. I think he's close to 40 years old now, and if he's going to have his time, it's going to have to be right now. So I don't think he's going to win the title any soon, but, you know, he is a hard worker, and the WWE producers do see this, so... Yeah, he's gonna go far. Maybe not as far as some people, but he's gonna go far.
So you think he's gonna win the title for maybe once or twice? Because you know, at the same time, wait a minute.
Yeah, but
because at the same time, guys,
I think they're just kind of testing out how the fans are gonna react to him, and they're kind of just testing how everybody. But yeah, I think he's in line for a universal and or world title push.
But
you know, in the next year or two.
At the same time, Roman Reigns has to get those numbers up on his title wins.
He has.
How many does he have right now?
What?
How many titles?
He won the world title for the first time against let's see, Survivor Series. That was like in 2016, I think. So that's one. He won it back on Raw, so that's two. He won it again, three, that's against Triple H. Then he won the Universal Championship the first time. That's four. This is his fifth time as champion.
Five times?
Yeah, so that's kind of pitiful.
Five times. So you know they're trying to get him up there. So maybe
yeah.
Cesaro is in line for, you know, a 1 or 2 month reign.
Well, not the way they're doing it, because they made him look like a third wheel.
I'm supposed to believe.
But I don't think so.
I'm supposed to believe that Cesaro is going to
beat Roman. Wait a minute. Who?
Yeah.
Kevin?
I'm supposed to believe that Cesaro is going to beat Roman whenever Roman just won a triple threat match. Like, is Cesaro supposed to?
It's not going
to
happen.
No,
it's not going to happen.
No. It's all a waste of time. This is a waste of time. So next we have Bianca Belair and Bayley. Apparently Bayley has a world title shot out of nowhere. She asked and she got it. She's facing Bianca Belair with no build up for the SmackDown title, which fucks Sasha Banks, right? Fuck her rematch. So who cares? Like, who honestly cares about this match, Bayley versus Bianca? Like,
wait a minute. This was on SmackDown Friday night?
Yes, last week.
Oh, okay. No. That's not what was next. What was next, I mean, we started out with this badass fucking match. Then we went to some other fucking shit. And then we had what did it for me was when Apollo Crews came out with that fucked up spear, guys. Holy shit, that's the worst fucking prop ever. I can't take this guy serious with this fucking spear and this fucking side goat he has with him, dude. It's fucked up, dude.
Wrong. He's holding it wrong.
It's fucked up, man. I can't believe this fucking spear, guys. Go and look at it. It looks like a fucking toy.
He's holding it wrong. He's holding it upside down. That's why. They told him to hold it upside down.
Oh, God, dude.
So we had an IC title match against Kevin Owens for no reason whatsoever. Kevin Owens suddenly getting a title shot. Apparently everybody could get a title shot now and they hand out. You get a title shot. You get a title shot. You get a title shot. Anyway, this was a boring fucking match, in my opinion. How can you have a boring match between Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews? I would never know, but this was fucking boring. Fucking bunch
is this
of headlocks
the one that ended
the rest
with fucking Sami Zayn dancing over Owens?
Yeah, that was stupid.
Did you guys see this? Kevier, Albert, did you guys see this? Sami Zayn was dancing over Owens for it lasted a good minute and a half or two.
I didn't see that clip, but I've seen Sami Zayn a lot lately.
It lasted a good minute and a half or two, maybe. I don't know what to think of it, and I was hoping that maybe you guys have caught a glimpse of it.
Excuse. I didn't get to watch that stuff. I watched some clips of the stuff I like from Raw, so I'm more familiar with Raw than SmackDown.
Awful. Four night dancing and all that shit. Double Kato or Commander Aziz, as you don't call him, has a finishing move. It's the fucking Samoan Spike from Umaga, which is fucking awful. It's one of the worst wrestling finishing moves of all time. Awful. So yeah, we go to.
You think it's worse than the claw? Somebody's using the claw, right? Isn't Omos using the claw now too?
No, Omos doesn't use the claw. He just slams. You know.
He's carrying.
It's like a
choke
slam, but he grabs your head.
Yeah,
well,
who was he? I think somebody used the claw. I think on WrestleMania. I think it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but that's different. That's like putting pressure so much in the head that the person passes out. I could let that slide.
The old claw, dude, the Von Erich claw was pretty scary, dude. That's one of my favorite finishes, actually. I love that claw.
The Samoan Spike is fucking stupid. It's stupid. All the guy does is stick his thumb, and then slams it. That's fucking stupid. That was one of the worst looking finishers ever.
let me tape my thumb and hit you in a pressure point. But you know what? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. It does look kind of cheesy a little bit, but
awful.
It can grow. He's going to get air on somebody, dude. He's going to do it to Ricochet one day, and that dude's going to fly 10 feet up in the air, and people are going to be like, oh, my God.
But where's all this going, dude? Where's all this shit going with fucking Kevin Owens and, Apollo Crews?
Another match.
WrestleMania Backlash?
Another match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and another match between Apollo Crews and Big E. That's where it's going.
Ugh.
That's where it's fucking going, and I don't want to fucking see it. I already saw them wrestle last week. I don't want to see them wrestle again. I don't give a fuck about this feud. Bianca Belair is a boring fucking champion. Bianca Belair is already a boring champion, so is Rhea Ripley.
I saw that that promo Bianca Belair cut with her boys, and she went off script a little bit, or like said something that was like kind of like in a negative way, but then she cleaned it up. She cleaned it up nicely, but we'll just have to see how they handle this. I mean, I'm skeptical as to how they're going to handle Bianca Belair, who is a truly special, freaking gifted athlete. Oh my God, she is badass. But, you know, again, it's how are they going to handle her? How are they going to handle her? Charlotte Flair is on the fucking warpath. And how in the fuck did she get back on Raw or on SmackDown, Christian? I just saw her choking a fucking referee out and getting suspended. And then she was on this past week. How did that happen?
Because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They fucking suspended her, and she got reinstated last night. And it was fucking a rush job. Nothing in Raw makes fucking sense, but we'll get to that when we get to that. But all I have to tell you is, fuck Charlotte Flair. I don't give a fuck about the storyline. I don't give a fuck about Sonya Deville. I don't give a fuck about anything about Charlotte Flair. She's the same fucking character.
What's going on with Sonya Deville, too? What's up with that?
She's a heel manager. You know, she's like co-manager with fucking Adam Pearce for whatever reason. Never explain how she got the job, ever. But she's like co-manager with fucking Adam Pearce.
Right, okay.
And she's the one who brought Charlotte Flair back. I don't know why, but who cares? I don't care about the story. I don't care about Sonya Deville, and I don't care about Adam Pearce. I don't care about a fucking power struggle.
Could it be that Big Daddy Ric Flair is pulling the strings with Sonya Deville?
Ric Flair's not even on TV anymore.
I know, dude. I know, bro. Stop it. I'm just fucking pulling the strings over here.
They said, Christian, did they say that Charlotte got written off because she had to go get, like, dental work or something like that? She had to go get her teeth worked.
Dude, it seems like she's got new teeth. It really does.
Bullshit.
All that
really does seem like she's got new teeth.
No, I'm saying, like, just recently she got suspended again, right? So, like, that they were. I was reading something that said that it was so that she could go get something like that, like a dentist appointment.
What the fuck? Then why the fuck for the suspension then? She was going to get dental appointment anyway.
I don't know, man, but when they come back from this fucking dental shit and all that, and a bunch of them have done it, they've all fucking done it. It always seems like they come back with an extra fucking tooth or something. I don't know.
Fuck
it seems like they got too many fucking teeth, man. No, really, it does.
Fuck
it seems like they got too many
the
fucking
teeth. The Miz has got the best teeth. Of all the fake teeth in the business, the Miz's are the nicest.
Do you remember
Roman
when he lost his fucking tooth? Who was it? Kofi Kingston that kicked him fucking right in the mouth and his tooth flew out? You remember that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
who
most of the teeth in his mouth are fake. The Miz has mostly fake teeth now.
Some good shit.
That's kind of like a wrestler thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't see them losing teeth, but, like, most of them are missing teeth. Like, it's pretty funny. Like, you think Rick, like Mick Foley, like pretty much everybody in that's been in the wrestling business over 10 years has fake teeth. You know what I mean? Like, to have all your
I was watching when Cesaro knocked his in. That was
challenge.
Crazy.
What's that?
When Cesaro knocked his teeth in on the turnbuckle, I was watching Raw that night, and that was crazy when he just bounced down on the turnbuckle and knocked his teeth up in his mouth. Ugh.
That was horrible.
So we got in a main event segment on SmackDown. Nothing else was noteworthy, like, you know, the tag champions and all that, nothing very important. So we go to the main event. Daniel Bryan, again, is talking for Cesaro. Kind of makes Cesaro look like a bitch. Kind of the third wheel, you know, because I'm not taking Cesaro seriously as a contender for this fucking title. If he's having someone else talk for him to get the title shot, it makes no sense. So Roman Reigns comes out and completely ignores Cesaro and looks straight to Daniel Bryan and offers him another shot for the title this coming week on Friday Night SmackDown. But the catch is, if Daniel Bryan loses, he has to leave SmackDown or WWE altogether.
What?
And guess what? Yeah.
When is this? What?
If he loses, he has to leave SmackDown or WWE.
Who's he facing?
Daniel Bryan Roman for the title.
When is this?
This week. This Friday.
Wow.
The shenanigans.
I got to tune in for this shit.
But we all know Daniel Bryan is leaving because he's not happy with WWE, and this is the only way for him to fucking leave. We all know he's fucking losing. But the biggest thing is Cesaro, you know, the guy who's the third wheel, he doesn't say, wait a minute, I'm the one who's asking for the title shot. I should be the one who's facing you. No, instead he says, go for it, dude. Go for it, Daniel. I mean, I was the one who was asking for this title shot in the first place, but then again, you weaseled your way
Stop
in
it.
And you fucking...
Are you kidding
No, that's
me?
What
this
he did.
What fucking
that's
doing.
What he's doing. This guy is a weasel.
Stop. Oh, my
How
God.
How is he a babyface? He shouldn't be involved in these storylines anymore. He's a fucking gremlin. And we know he's going to lose. So, Zaro looks like a bitch. He doesn't look like a fucking top contender.
No.
He hasn't...
You know what?
He doesn't. He looks like a third wheel.
I think I think that Bryan doesn't get fired, and I think that the match doesn't end like you're booking it for sure.
No,
what are you
no he's gonna leave. He's gonna leave. He doesn't.
You know, like,
he's unhappy.
You know, it's hard to keep a loser leaves town match exciting in the age of the internet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like back in the old days where it was like kind of like just to write somebody off TV because they were going to NWA or something. It was just like, you know, I didn't see anything. I mean, Daniel Bryan's probably unhappy with a lot of things going on, but I don't think he's leaving the WWE anytime soon. I think he's a company man, but I guess we'll see.
No, but he wants to fight wrestlers outside of WWE, and he wants to be part timer. So this is how they're gonna do it. That's the only way they could do it.
And
he's not winning the title. That's it for SmackDown. That was it. Daniel Bryan's career is on the line.
Well, fuck.
SmackDown was a decent show. It wasn't a bad show, but it wasn't good either. It was decent. But,
Oh, boy.
Raw this week, man. Fucking got my blood boiling. This was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, before we get to that, though. We got to We got to take a fucking break. So let's go ahead and get that shit out of the fucking way. And then we'll get to this shit that is known as Raw. I saw the clips last night, and I don't know. I kind of like what I saw. But we're going to talk it. We're going to talk it over. We're going to mull it over. We're going to discuss it when we come back after these words. Stay with me.
Your time is
can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic. I win this. Yo, you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these drums like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than...
Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go, don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
Fatal Four-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. I'm sitting here with the Swami, Kevye West, and Albert Inspected. We're having a great conversation tonight, guys. Great conversation.
Yep.
We've touched on a lot of shit tonight. A lot of different shit, man. Just random shit. This is what I love about this.
It's been 15
minutes. I thought
about Luger alone.
We're gathering around the Lake of Fire tonight. The Lake of Fire! Pondering over new segments and bits. But fuck, do we really need them? I mean, I think we have all we can handle. We can do any segment or any bit we want at any time. I mean, we can bring in Stone Cold Steve Austin at the drop of a dime. For this show. Can we not? Is he here somewhere?
What happened?
I'm sorry.
Stone Cold
sorry,
Steve Austin?
The wife interfered with that.
Stone Cold. A little bit of Stone Cold. Budweiser.
Steve Austin. What? What? I thought Samoa Joe was here.
AJ Styles. It's been a long time.
Hey, guys. You guys remember me? Donald Trump. Remember that one time we did that thing together, Stone Cold, me, you, Vince McMahon, and what's that one guy's name? The guy who looks like a giant Ninja Turtle? Remember I shaved Vince McMahon's head? You guys remember that? That was fun. You guys also remember when I used to be president of the United States of America? That was exceptional. Nobody was a better president than I was. And also, nobody was a better shaver. Ed Shaver of Vince McMahon better than I was. Exceptional. Absolutely terrific. I'm the best, the greatest head shaver ever in the history of mankind.
Oh, it was tremendous. It was tremendous, Donald.
It was tremendous, yes.
So now we get to the nitty gritty here. Talk about the disgrace.
There's more.
We talk about the disgrace. That was Monday Night Raw last night.
Oh my
Corner
god!
Raw where I was angry.
Like a eulogy.
I'm just hoping I left him enough time, guys.
Oh, well, I'm just going to talk about a few key moments. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about the whole show. So, we started the show with fucking bullshit already from the get-go. T-Bar and Mace, which now they have face paint. They look like fucking geeks. They come out without their mask. And it's supposed to be a tag match, but then Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre argue like bitches. And then it becomes a handicap match. So basically, it's the same bullshit from last week. Instead, it's Braun Strowman versus Retribution in a handicap match. And lo and behold, it ends in a DQ already. So that's the first DQ of the night. They double-team him too much and, you know, Retribution lose by DQ. Then Drew McIntyre comes to the rescue and it becomes the tag match that was supposed to start the show. And it was shit. And guess what? It ends in a fucking count-out and Retribution wins. So basically, Drew McIntyre has lost 2 weeks in a row to fucking Retribution of all people. Well, what a good number one contender for the world title. But it gets more bad. After the match, Braun Strowman power slams Drew McIntyre. And then later on tonight, Drew McIntyre went to Adam Pearce and said he wants Braun Strowman in the main event.
Hold on. Rewind about 3 or 4 moves before that.
All right.
Yeah, rewind 3 or 4 moves back. Start with this shit.
Well,
to what point?
It was a handicap match.
Or what?
Yeah, like, yeah, no, okay, they came to the ring. They were wearing face paint.
They were wearing face paint.
Instead of their mask. It was established last week. They took their masks off and shit.
Yeah.
So that was established last week. So, yeah, it makes sense that they came out, you know, with no fucking mask. The face paint, however, is new. But, after that,
it was supposed to be the tag match. But Braun Strowman said he didn't need Drew McIntyre, and it became a handicap match.
Right, right. He said he didn't need him. He said, fuck you. I don't need you. I'll go out there and take care of these punks by myself.
But he's the one who helped him last week, so that's stupid. So that's dumb.
And then
it ended in a DQ because Retribution double-teamed him too much.
Right.
And Braun Strowman won the DQ. And then Drew came out and saved his ass anyway. And then it became the tag match that was supposed to happen. But
it's the typical formula of WWE. The typical fucking formula. I mean, we're dealing with a formula here. It happens with every fucking feud. They end up tag teaming together, even though they're in a feud. We know this, right?
But they're not,
we're established, but they're not in a feud.
We weren't in a feud.
But
they've been in feuds.
They've been in feuds. Now here they are tag teaming.
It made no sense. None of what's happened.
No, it's just that they, I get what you're saying, but in this situation, it was like really thrown together booking, like more than that. It was like really thrown together, like doesn't have a good build. Nothing has a good build. Everything is built in 2 weeks. That's the problem.
Yeah, everything is fucking homogenized and cookie cutter.
So what happened?
That's what I hate about it. So
yeah,
now,
hey,
as a result, he fucking won the match, and he's in the triple threat. Sorry?
The guys in Retribution are doomed. It saddens me to say that they put big thing on these guys. They gave them the Ascensions gimmick, and they're going to die. It sucks.
Why are they still called T-Bar and Mace? That's another thing. Why are they still called T-Bar and Mace? They're not even from Retribution.
What are their names?
Because we don't get, because it's not, I don't know. It's all bad decisions, but I mean.
Yeah, I don't even
it's
know
funny.
What
I
their
mean,
names
just,
are
their names,
other than T-Bar
their
and Mace.
Names, their names are Dio Madden and Dominik Dijakovic. That's their names.
Dijakovic could be a way huger wrestler.
He's phenomenal. For a man his size, he does cruiserweight moves, and they're having him be a face painting fucking freak. So
hey man, when I go to a fucking football game,
I might want to paint my face every now and then. You got a problem with that?
That's fine. No, that's fine. That's good occasions to do that. You're supporting your team. This is stupid. So up next we have childish shit. Up next we had juvenile shit after this, right? This is where it gets fucking juvenile. We have the fucking Miz and Morrison and Elias and Jackson Riker. Tell me I'm going crazy. Or did they already did this shit on Miz TV with these four people?
I saw this segment, bro. Bro, I saw this segment. First of all, I could not understand why in the blue hell does fucking Morrison have the word drip? What is it with this word drip? People are dripping.
Because that's his rapper name. That's his rapper name.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you for clarifying.
But why the I swear these four were meant to do this thing. What the fuck? Fucking shit. But it gets worse.
I watched
this
segment, and I, as much as the fan I am of The Miz, and you know what? Morrison, in the segment, to me, Morrison stood out. Like, I can finally see personality in Morrison. For years, Morrison was the worst. What the hell?
Oh, God. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Is that Samoa Joe playing the pan flute?
Yeah.
What?
So, the New Day, they're about to perform music. The New Day come out with Damian Priest, and it becomes a six-man tag. But before that, this is where the juvenile shit comes from. Thank you, fucking tomatoes. At these people. They throw fucking tomatoes at four people.
I saw that. I thought it was fucking stupid.
What are we, fucking kindergarten?
Bro, I'm with you.
I
thought it was stupid.
This is fucking trash. This was fucking trash. They had a six-man tag. Who gives a fuck? Who honestly cares? They're probably going to do it again next week. I'm tired of them. Why is Damian Priest feuding with The Miz still? Bad Bunny's fucking gone. Why is this shit continuing? What's the point of this shit? Why are they still mentioning Bad Bunny? He's not even there anymore.
You know what it is? It's WWE still riding the coattails of Bad Bunny. That's what it is.
Milking it.
Yep. Bastardizing it, as I always say. That's a perfect example of bastardizing something. They couldn't just fucking let it be. No. They got to fucking milk it. They got to bastardize the whole fucking
shit.
Maybe
Damian Priest will get a push out of him. Damian Priest is going to come out on top and he'll be all right.
No. No, he's not. The guy cannot cut a promo to save his life. He's a fucking robot.
He's cool. He's a cool guy. He needs sunglasses. They need to send him out there with some Steve Vai.
He has no character. I don't know who. He has no character. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he is.
He needs to start a band with Elias.
He needs the sunglasses.
They need like five guys to all have like just play shows.
And he needs to start a band with Elias, and he needs a midget. Give him a midget.
Yes, we need a midget in the band. Yes. Yeah, they're little people now, Chuck. You got to say little people.
Oh, pardon me. Give him a little person. Give him a little.
So the match is awful.
Yeah, give him a little.
We talked about the whole Charlotte shit. It's bullshit. Now we go to the best part of the whole show, in my opinion. The only good shit on the show was RK-Bro. RK-Bro was the only good shit on this show. The fact that they had good chemistry. I'm excited for this fucking team. It's going to be Team Hell No all over again.
I got to talk about this, Christian. I beg your pardon, sir, but I have to talk about this. The whole thing with this RK-Bro, it started with
Bro, he actually pinned Randy Orton. He fucking pinned him. And then the next week,
that was a good
somehow, match. The next week, somehow, they fucking, you know, they were tag team. And then they actually won. But when they won, the best part is the very end of that clip. If you haven't seen it, go back and look at it. The very ending of that clip is what's gold. They win the match. Yes, the pan flute, please. They win the freaking match. And bro is all celebrating and shit. He goes up to the fucking Viper and hugs him and shit. And the Viper suddenly fucking turns on him real quick and starts charging at him. And it starts getting uncomfortable there for a minute, like you just know that the bro is going to be the mouse. And, of course, the Viper is the Viper. And, you know the rest.
They're best buddies. They're going to be like Kane and Daniel Bryan. They're going to be an awesome tag team. They're going to be
multiple
tag teams.
For a little bit.
Yeah,
and it will be gold.
I'm calling it right now for 1 month before Randy turns on him.
After the pay-per-view? No, it'll be longer than that, bro.
I see him
win the title
with. I see Randy and Matt joining up with Damian Priest and Elias and starting a local band backstage.
Stop with Damian Priest and Elias.
And they're all just backstage jamming, and they're like, oh, this sounds really good. And they're like, we should start a band together.
Wait a minute. You speak about jamming.
And then Drew McIntyre's like, hey, I used to be in the band. Hey, I actually play the bass. Do you have a bass player? You know, and then they start jamming, and it just
player.
Turns into
fucking,
like a cool organic thing.
Big E's partner, what's his name? Xavier Woods. He's jamming bass now. He came out with a fucking bass. Down the
Hell
ramp
yeah.
and shit, guys. Did you see that?
How did I miss that? No.
You have to look through the YouTube clips, bro. You have to leave it on play. Leave
I have to actually watch
play.
The show we're talking about.
Yeah, leave that shit on play, bro. When you're watching the highlights on YouTube, because I know that's how you do it, because you turn me on to that. That's how I've been doing it. But let me
Not
tell
all
you
the
something,
time.
Matt.
When I can watch the show, I do. If it's, I think like this episode being so
Wait,
bad.
You have cable?
Like,
you actually have
I
want to
go back and watch it. You can watch it on Hulu. All episodes on Hulu.
So we go to another Twisted Bliss segment, which fuck this segment. Yeah, play the flute. I'm tired of the fucking Twisted Bliss. I'm tired of Alexa Bliss. This fucking shit's fucking stale. It doesn't work without Bray Wyatt. It's fucking terrible. Now we're gone to so much childish shit. WWE is resorting to fucking jump scares now. Now we're resorting to jump scares. They're resorting to jump scares now. Because they had Lily do a jump scare during the Can you stop with the flute? Stop it. Anyway, they resorted to doing a jump scare on the show, and I bet you that pissed off a lot of people and they turned off the show. I guarantee you.
What are you talking about here? What are you talking about? A jump
Alexa
scare?
Alexa Bliss.
Why are you trolling with the pan flute? I'm going to leave. What the hell? The pan flute's getting Xbox heat.
What is the deal with Alexa Bliss?
What?
Nothing. It's boring. Like, she's cutting these promos, which I don't know what the fuck she's saying. I don't know why she still has supernatural powers if she's not with the Bray anymore. And
she's got
now
another
she's
demon
resorting
with the bro.
To...
Lily's a demon. She's got this other demon. There's a bunch of demons that could possess any wrestler at any time. There's
they're
another
all
roster.
Demons, and they're all
hey, is Albert still
homosexual.
Albert could get behind me on. Albert could get behind
of
me
course
on.
Of course, he could get behind
like,
you. Of course he can.
There's a whole roster of demons that are willing to wrestle, and they're
Albert,
just waiting for
who's going to get behind.
And Alexa, and they're going to possess Damian Priest. They're going to possess Elias. They're going to possess Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, and they're all going to start a badass metal band.
Wow. It's stupid. Yeah. It's stupid. A jump scare.
They're
going to
be called behind the guys. They're going to be called behind the guys, and they're all going to be behind each other.
A jump scare is not entertaining. It's going to piss a lot of people off.
They're going to be called behind the guys, and they're all going to be behind each other, and they're going to be jump-scaring each other.
It's shit.
Don't you know?
It's shit. This Alexa Bliss is shit. This is shit. It's shit. And again, where the fuck is Bray Wyatt? This is 2 weeks in a row that he doesn't show up on Raw. Where the fuck is this guy? Where the fuck is Bray Wyatt?
What
was Bray Wyatt's gang called when they first came out? The Wyatt
Family. The
Firefly
Funhouse.
Wyatt Family.
Yeah, where the
fuck
is
this guy? What was his gang called?
The Wyatt Family.
The Wyatt Family.
No, you're right. No, and I like Alexa, but I think that the story, at least the story with Lily being a demon, like it's enough. Because I like Alexa, so as a fan of Alexa, I'm willing to keep watching it to see what her character does and what she does with it. Because, like I was saying earlier, the thing with me and the Alexa character is really that she's like, it's not for kids. Like, if a little girl was watching and was like an Alexa Bliss fan, I would be sad if I was a little kid and Alexa Bliss, you know, she would get heat. So maybe she's getting heat from little kids by doing this. Or maybe little kids think it's cool and it's making them all, like,
I gotta speak on this as well, guys. Because the whole thing, Christian is talking about how, you know, he's over here crying about how she's dressed like a little girl. And oh my God, it's fucking terrible. And this and that. And let me tell you something, man. You go to any fucking nightclub. You go to any fucking nightclub anywhere, and you're going to see fucking 30, 40-year-old fucking women dressed just like Alexa Bliss.
That's what she's going for.
And nobody is saying a goddamn thing about that. So you tuck it in, mister. You tuck it in, mister.
That's for the female demographic. They're fucking gone. They're not existing.
My girlfriend Teresa's doing that right now. She's getting up dressed like Alexa Bliss and heading to the bar.
There you go. There you go. And let me tell you something else. Yeah, go ahead, Christian. And also?
Nothing. And also, another wrestler that hasn't shown up for weeks is fucking AJ Styles. Where the fuck is he at? He's the fucking world champion.
Oh, my God.
3 weeks in a row now that this guy hasn't been on TV.
I'm just now finding out that AJ Styles has not been on Raw for 3 weeks in a row as I am watching Kitty Teixeira come out of the bedroom dressed like Alexa Bliss, only she's holding a whip. Holy shit, baby, please stop it. Oh, my God.
I think this is a private call now.
So why isn't AJ Styles not showing up for 3 weeks? What's the reason? Like,
COVID?
Is he injured?
I don't know. I don't know what we chalk that kind of stuff up to, man. It is weird that they have champions that aren't on TV. It's weird that they have fucking 20 belts and that none of them really matter. Those are all questions that I have all the time watching this show.
What is the tag division fighting for? The tag champions aren't even on Raw.
Yeah, nobody's defending it. Nobody's doing anything about it. There's no prestige. They're not like, these are the belts that the New Age Outlaws held. They're not saying anything like that. They're like, they're not putting these belts over. These belts mean shit. They're badass. They mean a lot to me. Even the belts that they still have, that's the thing. Like they still have some of these lineages and these titles. And
well, I'll tell you what, Sable
they could be
awake something too.
Do what?
What?
Sable. Sable thought she was hot shit, too.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Sable was badass.
Did you say Sable or did you say Marlon Maples? I got confused there for a second. Sorry.
Oh, shit.
So moving on, we got two more things to talk about because the rest was juvenile. So moving on, we have Bobby Lashley cutting one of the worst promos ever. Why are they giving this guy the mic?
It was a good promo.
I liked it. I thought he did good. Yes, I do agree, yeah. Kevier. He did okay. He was scripted. No. You could tell
the
he
one
was
thing,
obviously scripted, but he was good.
I left this comment in the YouTube comments on the clip. Actually, you can go and like my comment there, Chuck, if you're watching the videos. On the clip for this, I said, because he says in the promo, he's like, Drew McIntyre was laying there like a $1 bill that somebody crumpled up and threw on the ground and didn't say. And I wrote in the comments, that I would have picked up that $1 bill. Like that's a $1
bill. Hell yeah. Oh, I'm going to pick it up, too. God damn right, I'm gonna pick it up.
Laying on the floor, because I'll pick that up.
No,
I'll pick it up too. I'll drink a beer with it. Hell, I'll drink a fucking Lone Star with that motherfucker.
Drew McIntyre drinks Guinness, my friend.
Yeah,
I'll drink some Guinness too. Shit, I'll drink Drew McIntyre under the table. I'll put my title on the line. Anytime, I'll put my IWC. World Heavyweight Championship title on the line against anybody on the drinking table.
Speaking of Drew McIntyre, that's a perfect transition because now we go to the main event of the show. We have Drew McIntyre versus Braun Strowman.
I'll not drink. I'll be the giant, damn it.
Yeah. And then Braun Strowman wins. He's added to the title match. Now this is where it's fucking
to Andre.
Shit. Okay. Now this is where it gets fucking shit. The MVP and Bobby Lashley distract Braun Strowman and help Drew McIntyre almost win. But this is where the stupidity comes forward. Mason T-Bar comes out of nowhere. They distract Drew McIntyre, and that's how Braun Strowman wins. Now, this is where it gets fucked, because I thought they were implying that Mace and T-Bar were the new members of the Hurt Business. But if that's the case, why did they potentially fucked over Lashley now that this is a triple threat match? See how fucking stupid that is?
And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments, but first, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Christian from Philly.
Yep.
Keep it going,
yep.
Brother. Why in the blue hell?
I have to ask you this question. Why, when they were implied that T-Bar and Mace are the new members of the Hurt Business, that they potentially fucked over Lashley by helping Braun Strowman win against Drew McIntyre, which they were feuding earlier tonight on the show, to now be added into the Triple Threat WWE title match. Why did this happen, guys? Why is this fucking stupid? None of this makes any sense, and it's fucking stupid.
Explain to us one more time, okay? So the Raw was ending. Or tell me again, what's the deal?
MVP and Bobby Lashley distracted Braun Strowman and were helping Drew McIntyre win because they didn't want a triple threat match.
Right.
Drew was about to win, but then Mason T-Bar came out of nowhere, distracted McIntyre, and helped Braun Strowman win the match. And now Braun Strowman's in the title match. Now, here's where it's stupid, right? 2 weeks ago, it was last week even, it's implied that Mason T-Bar are the members of the Hurt Business. So why the fuck that they basically fucked over Lashley by helping Braun Strowman win and making it now a triple threat match for his title? Can anybody answer me why this is fucking stupid?
But are they?
They're keeping Drew.
You said it's implied.
Not as big a threat as they're keeping Drew away from it for the Hurt Business. If that's the case, then that's what they're doing.
But it's a triple threat now. They made it worse.
But, you know, this is what I was thinking about, guys. Like, at the end of me watching the clips, I was thinking about the whole Bobby Lashley, because it was Bobby Lashley standing on top of the desk, all right? And he was standing there with his title raised up high, but all this madness and chaos was going on in the ring. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm wondering, what the fuck? What the hell is going on here? I'm not clear on this story yet. And you know what?
Yeah, I took a week
here,
off. So I don't have the best input this week on this stuff. I saw Lashley's promo, and it was good.
But here's the kicker. I dug his promo too. But here's the kicker for me. Here's the kicker. Okay? All this fucking shit, Lashley's promo, yes, I thought it was good. Christian says it was terrible, but I thought it was good. But listen, the kicker is that come to find out, the pay-per-view is not until 2 or 3 weeks away. So anything could still happen. They could have another match somehow, some way, where, you know, instead of Braun Strowman, who was the other guy? Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, and who else?
Drew McIntyre.
What if they have another match next week somehow, and Drew McIntyre gets knocked out of the picture for a week?
He can.
And then they come back. Of course he can. It's WWE. Anything can happen. Even though it probably won't. It'll be some shit like they're going to tag team for a while. They're going to be booked in tag team matches with each other against, you know, other foes and shit that'll come through. And then they'll have to face it. It's all the same fucking poor shit.
No, I mean, we're minimizing it, but I mean, like, it's weird to think about, really, if we're being realistic, it's weird to think about what the next 6 months, like if booking continues to be this way, what the shit are we going to be looking at in the next 2 months, 3 months?
I'll tell you what it is.
You know,
We're already looking at it. We're looking at a bunch of new feuds developing as we speak. What are they? Let's see. They started coming about this week. I don't have the fucking results.
Well, I'm not just talking about specific feuds. I'm talking about like what's the end result of like booking like this for the next like a year, or like they've been doing it for a year, they've been doing it for a while, but this past 2 years has been like this. So let's say 2 years of booking, what kind of damage is it going to do to WWE to book like that versus like looking way stronger?
I'm calling for that revolution, brother.
Yeah.
I'm calling for that revolution.
Like, I mean, we talk about WWE. We go through the WWE report. We watch it. We like that product because we like some of the wrestlers that are on the roster. But overall, like, we end up, like, just taking the piss out of it and hating WWE. So that's kind of – every week I'm found left that flavor in my mouth of, like, why did I watch a bunch of WWE? And the reason I watch WWE is for the wrestlers that I like. And that's all that really matters. And I know I'm just – I sound like I'm, like, taken up and, like, being like, well, let's not be totally negative Nancy's. It's because I'm the baby face, but still. Like,
no, I don't think so. Just, I watch it because of that, too.
I like the wrestlers.
I do, too.
But the
However,
booking is trash. The booking doesn't make any sense. And I wouldn't want to go – like, if WWE was a weekly show in my hometown, man, I would go for the wrestler. I would go to see those guys wrestle. But I don't think that their stories are worth coming back every week to see or every month to see. And I don't think – it's just a different kind of charm that it doesn't have. So it does suck, but we don't have to focus on WWE as much and maybe just, like, talk about the wrestling that we do like instead of the shit that we don't like.
There you go. Kev Yay. West. Ladies and gentlemen, can
that
we have an applause maybe for Kev Yay West?
That was my
maybe?
Promo. I'm sorry.
A little late reaction there, sons of bitches.
But no, it's true because it's like everybody that we just talked about, everybody on both of those rosters, I love. I like all the wrestlers as individuals, and I want to see them do their best. But the booking and the
too.
Show suck.
And then, you know, but there's a lot of shit going on, man. And I really dug. You guys are really tickling my fancy there earlier when you guys were conspiring with this shit with the AEW and TNA and a buyout and all that shit. Man, guys, that was the first time I've ever heard about this shit. And, I mean, it just tickles the shit out of me to think that here all along I've been calling for this fucking revolution, and here on the side it's actually fucking happening. It's actually fucking
well, it's
happening.
It's all speculation. It's all speculation. I mean,
Well, you know, and we can call it that, and it is. It is what it is, and it is speculation. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to speculate every fucking week. And we have a hell of a time doing it, and we do what we do for a worldwide show or whatever the hell, I guess. That's what they say. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
We get cut off and shit. The fuck out
well,
of here
the bottom,
with this shit.
The bottom line is this, gentlemen. This is the worst Raw run after Mania in years.
It is.
Let's just be honest. From March to April, these past fucking episodes of Raw have been fucking horrendous.
They're desperate.
Horrendous.
They're desperate, and it's all because they have not created, they have not taken opportunities to fucking create stars the way they should have years ago. They're far behind on them. They're far behind. They ruined them. They ruined them because of, you know, Roman Reigns. They ruined them because of John Cena before that. And they just fucking ruined them. Like Bray Wyatt is completely fucking ruined. As entertaining as he
I don't think anybody's too far gone. I think that at any point WWE could turn it around. They could give these guys the booking to make
them
look
great. They
can,
and
they
do. But holy shit, like, when is it going to happen for Bray Wyatt?
I don't want to know. Don't get me wrong.
He is a star, and he is on TV every fucking week.
Yeah, I was having this conversation the other night saying to some friends that Bray Wyatt is going to be looked back on as a great wrestler, as this company man, this guy who did and just who had like a long legacy in
Hall
WWE.
Of Famer?
He's going to get Hall of Fame inductions.
He's not a great wrestler. His in-ring work is fucking terrible, but
well,
Christian,
some people
let me tell you
some people really
bro.
Like
I got a project.
the style of wrestling that Bray does, like, really appeals to me and definitely to some friends of mine. Like, it's at least in WWE, it's kind of a breath of fresh air seeing him wrestle sometimes.
I got to tell you, Christian, I want you to go take a bump, Christian. I want you to go to a fucking local fucking wrestling gym, take a goddamn bump.
But that's the thing with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt,
and then come back and report to us.
He sacrificed having good booking and having, like being able to really go wild with this character and with what he wants to do for just being, like, another name in WWE's history books. That's what he's going to go down as. He's not going to be, like, the legacy that we wanted him to be. He's going to be, like, a different one.
And it's a fucking shame that his brother was released. Because his brother, I thought his brother was fucking great. That whole thing where, remember when Tamina Snuka was like the big fucking thing? I think it was Tamina. It might have been Nia Jax. Was the big fucking thing. And she came in and she was in the Royal Rumble or some shit like that. And then fucking Bray Wyatt's brother, who am I talking about? Whatever the fuck his name is.
Bo Dallas.
Yeah, Bo Dallas. He came out. It was his turn or whatever. And he was doing his lap around the ring as she was, like, she had just been eliminated. And she was getting up. In that moment that she was getting up, he was going around her. And he just shoulder tackled her. Like not tackled her, but, like, you know, bumped her with the shoulder, and she went down. I was like, holy shit, that's fucking savage. And it was the beginning of that character, you know, that then he fucking went away.
Bo Dallas has an NXT legacy that only people that were watching NXT back in the day remember what the real Bo Dallas was all about. And that guy was gold for a little while.
Man, it was.
Bo Lee, that his career was shit.
Stop it. I fucking loved it. Albert and Spectre, you've been quiet for a while, bro.
I think he left.
No. I was just playing my little bamboo flute on mute. But do you guys want to hear it? It's amazing.
No,
I don't want to hear it. I thought it was Chuck the whole time. I thought it was Chuck pressing a button.
This little song is working out for Fatal 4-Way. Maybe we can change the theme song to that. What do you think, Chuck?
Hey, you know what? You got a great thing going there, and you know, I'll take it under advisement. How about that?
You know what we should?
I will take it under advisement.
Every week, Albert should have to learn another wrestling theme song on the flute, and then play it for us, and then we have to guess that tune.
Oh. I'm fucking doing that shit. Oh, goddamn right. Man, I fucking love the sound of that. Hey, but look, check it out. The beauty of it is
the sound
is
of the
idea,
the sound of the flute.
I don't know if anybody in case look, man, we have worldwide audience. I just want to introduce Albert Inspected, okay? He's an actual street performer. An actual street performer, like this guy performs on the street. Is that not right, Albert? Tell us about it.
In the news.
Are you going to use your pan flute skills? Or are you developing pan flute so that you can incorporate it into your street performing?
Sure. And I'm going to write every song I write from the rest of my life. It's gonna be on this little bamboo flute thing. So
nice.
I'm getting
a fucking love.
That's all you need. That's all you need to make a good hit record.
And you know what? You heard him here first on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Play us out.
Alright. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Play
us out, bro.
That was it. That was the show. Hell yeah.
Nice.
We're really good about that.
Woo! Yeah, me too. Shit, I love it. God damn, man. Man, that was tight, guys. We went a little bit overtime. Christian from Philly?
Yeah. Thank you. I have to bounce because my phone's about to die.
All right.
Yeah. I have to bounce.
Later, Christian. Die, guys.
All right. Thank you all for listening.
I'll watch more wrestling this week.
No, wait a minute.
I promise
I'll
be more prepared.
I got to talk to you, Christian. Bro.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to supposedly, well, you know, we had great response on with the whole Lou thing, and apparently the people want to hear more shows with Lou, and so Lou is on board, and so
okay. The
World Generation Network audience and the Fatal 4-Way audience wants to know if you're on board to do a show with Lou, a weekly show. That's a WWE wrap-up report. And so
that's
the whole
fair.
World.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, the whole world
that like
awaits
fun.
The debut of that. So we'll see how that
the
goes.
Summer,
yeah.
The summer.
Right on.
Tell me the
so
time
we'll
and day.
Yeah, we'll see how that develops, brother. Okay, so let's close ourselves out, man.
All right, so I have the bounce. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in Spirit of Horror Radio. Good night to you all, and fuck you motherfuckers. Good night, bitches.
Oh, Christian from Philly. Woo-hoo! That's fucking raunchy. Raunchy, raunchy. Albert Salazar?
Yeah.
Get raunchy.
He played himself
bro.
Out with the flute already.
That's it.
Make him follow the flute.
How about, what about we close out? What does Donald have to say? We don't have Donald. Is Donald still on the line?
Can we have Donald? Do we have anybody else? Maybe let's check
hey,
out Donald. Donald.
Hey, Mr. President, what? What's up? What?
Well, I just want to thank everybody. Thank you, Mr. Stone Cold. Thank you, Mr. Minister, Senator Christian from Philly. You're fantastic. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for having me on. You know, it's been just a little bit boring here in Florida. You know, so thanks for having me on to kill some time out here. You know, I'm not president anymore, but we're all going to change that very, very soon. We're going to stop the vote. I know the vote's probably still going on. And 2024, I'm coming back stronger than ever, baby. It's going to be fantastic. So until then, maybe you can catch me on Fatal 4-Way Radio every once in a while, huh?
A presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Number 5 is alive.